We're continuing our series right now, going through 1 Corinthians. We've made it to chapter 6. I know last week, if you were here, we had a little chunk of chapter 6 to blend together with the focus of chapter 5, finding that those themes matched up. But we're going to look at the first 11 verses today and go forward from there. Part of the reason for doing this is because Corinthians was the church that Paul wrote the most to, his longest two letters, and there's actually probably a third and fourth letter we don't know about that we're missing and, you know, seeking to find if that is ever found and get included in the Bible someday. It would be wonderful if they did. But we go off of what we have and what we know and off of this wonderful guidance that God gives us. And he's talking a lot about light and living as light, living differently, living not like unbelievers, but like believers. And that's what our hope is, that we can do that too. I want to also notice Jesus kind of pointing the same thing out to us as he says in the gospel reading today. Whoever walks in darkness does not know where they are going, but believe in the light so that you may become children of light. My children would probably tell you that my favorite light in my house is the light on the refrigerator. I would suggest to you it's actually the little light on the way to the refrigerator, the nightlight that keeps me from stubbing my toe. I sometimes would blame it on being a big, tall person, but I think, more honestly, I'm more of a clumsy person. I have broken the little toe on my right foot probably about 20 times in my life. I just walk into things, you know, it's, I don't know, whatever it is. So light, especially nightlights, are my favorites because it helps me avoid that problem, helps me avoid stumbling. And it's that light that God gives us that helps all of us avoid stumbling. It's that light he offers to us that we shine as a witness to the world. Some years ago, a dear precious friend gave me this cross. I don't know how well you can see it, but the cross is ringed by a bunch of people. This happened to be from a mission trip in Costa Rica. So they're decorated somewhat in Central American or Caribbean kind of hats and clothing and so on as they're carrying the cross. When we carry forward the cross, when we carry forward the love of God, the sacrifice that Jesus made, we're shining the light. We're living that out. And it's just a precious reminder for me of us doing that together. That's what Paul's calling the Corinthians to do. I also hold on to this cross because once when I was allowing a kind of squirmy child in my office whose parents I was trying to counsel and meet, let them look at it, they dropped it and all the little people broke off. Now, they're glued back on. And the glue worked really well. You'd have to come and stare at it to really see where all the broken off people and fragments were, the little hat that's glued back on and everything else. It is a reminder for me also that we're still kind of this mixture of broken and yet glued together by God's grace. And it's even that brokenness, it's even those areas of weakness, those areas of struggle, that when we let God's light shine in and guide us, like that broken toe, we can avoid more of that brokenness, we can shine something that really inspires others. You know, it's kind of be like someone saying, well, if that clumsy oaf of a guy, Jerry, can make it in God's way with his grace, there's probably grace there for me too. And it's that kind of idea that I think Paul is trying to get at here in 1 Corinthians 6. And it's almost as if he's kind of taking people by the shoulder, not to shake them in a mean way, but to put his hands on their shoulders and say, guys, gals, think about what you're doing. Think about the choice that you're making right now and the witness that it's bearing to other people. When there were disputes, when there were fights and conflicts among them, rather than seeking God, rather than seeking support in prayer or seeking reconciliation with those other people, they were seeking justice in the courts. And Paul is so distressed by this, so bothered by the whole concept and idea that anyone would choose to do that, that they would choose, instead of choosing to be wronged, as he said, why not choose that? Why rather be wronged than to make the gospel, make the love of God look like a joke when you're all divided, when you're showing your brokenness to the world, as opposed to showing God gluing you together in the world. It's just such a remarkable concept. And he's wanting us to realize the great gift we have through his grace. The gift that one day we will judge the world. Now, not now. That was in last week's lesson. It points out it's not our job at this time to judge the world. That'll come later when he's transformed us, brought us up into heaven, and made us like himself. Now the world's under his judgment. But God is asking us not to fall under judgment, not to choose to act like the world. I once heard a pastor say this, and maybe it'll make sense to you. Don't be surprised when the world acts like the world, when it's all divided, when it's all conflicted, when it's all out for me, 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 and looking out for no one else but number one. But you and I should be surprised and saddened when the church acts like the world. When we act in that divided or selfish or conflicted way. And Paul is so very, very clear in here when he's talking about this idea of us someday judging even angels and the world. And remember, it's a sober way of him trying to really say to us, hey, you don't want to be under God's judgment. You're not supposed to be because of what Jesus did for you, but you don't want to be under that judgment. You and I don't want to be found short of God's glory, because every word that we've said in anger, every thing that we have sought after in selfishness, every time a conflict we've tried to solve on our own or through the world's ways rather than through God's ways, we risk that judgment. It's as if we say, the grace of God really didn't mean that much to me. I'd rather figure out my own way. I'd rather, even if it's walking through the dark, and even if it means I'm going to stumble and stub my toe and break my toe a few times, I'd rather go my own way. It's as if saying we don't really need God. And that's when we're going to face judgment. When we think we can act independent of him, or even, I think, more sinister way, oh, I'll get his good stuff on Sunday. I'll get his good stuff at the end of my life. But for now, I'll live any way I want to. I'll act and speak any way I think is best. And friends, God is saying to us that wrongdoers are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. They aren't. Whether it is, as you heard in that list, that's there, sexually immoral or idolaters or adulterers or those who have sex with the same gender or thieves or greedy or drunkenness or slanderers or swindlers, all sin is sin. And if we think we can hide under his grace but still act that way, we bring judgment on ourselves. And we bring his kingdom into disrepute. All people see are the fractures and the brokenness. And they go, well, what's the point? Instead of facing that judgment, instead of acting as if God's judgment doesn't matter, let's instead think of what Jesus did for us. When he talked about having the light among us for a little while longer, it meant that he was about to go to the cross, that Jesus was about to suffer and die because of all the brokenness we've brought, because of all the sin and selfishness and division that we have been a part of and we've caused in this world. And as he went, as the light of the world died and slowly grew dimmer and dimmer and dimmer, he did that for us. He suffered and emptied himself out and faced the darkness apart from God, his Father, for us, facing the dark judgment of God for you, for me. Jesus did all of that out of his love for us, out of his incredible grace. And that's why you and I are called to act in this different way. We're reminded, as Paul says there at the end of 1 Corinthians 6, that's who some of you were. You were those swindlers. You were those slanderers. You were those people with sexual immorality in our lives or whatever the sin was. But that's not who we have to stay being. Because of his grace, because of what Jesus was willing to face and overcome, he even overcomes that darkness of death and the devil and shined his light again on the third day as he rose from the dead. And so we're called then, since we were washed, since we are sanctified, as it says in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11, washed and sanctified and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, let's live differently. We can still have the cracks. We can be honest with people about this is who I was. But when we instead let him glue us back into his kingdom, bind our hearts together with his and with all of his holy people in the church, we can carry forward his light so that others with brokenness, others who worry about judgment, can find that same peace and forgiveness that we found when we act on that grace he showed us. When we act washed, when we act forgiven, when we act love, that's letting light shine and shine off of us for the world to see. May God help us do that. May God be glorified as we let that light in, as we let that light shine, as we walk in that light now and always. Amen.